This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The middle school years have got to be one of the most awkward periods of life. I don't know if many people would want to go back and revisit those years, but that's kind of what our guests Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle did. They co-created the Hulu comedy series Pen 15, in which they co-star as seventh grade versions of themselves in the year 2000. In reality, they're both in their early 30s, but the rest of the show's middle schoolers are played by actual teens. Pen 15 explores what it's like for Maya and Anna to deal with puberty, mean girls, and their first sexual feelings. It's embarrassing, poignant, and very funny. And many of the stories come from Erskine and Conkle's real tribulations in middle school. A heads up to parents, this interview includes a couple of brief, non-explicit mentions about how they dealt with those kinds of sexual situations when they were that age. Pen 15 has just been renewed for a second season. Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle spoke with Fresh Air producer Sam Brigger. They started with a clip from the show. Anna and Maya are having a sleepover after Anna has just had her first kiss with her boyfriend, Brendan. And it's not how she fantasized it would be. Maya asks her about it.
And then, like, were your lips close together when you guys were standing close together?
Yeah. And then they touched.
That's like romantic.
No, it wasn't. Yep, it literally wasn't at all.
Why?
He put his lips like all the way around mine.
Ew.
And like sucked.
Ew.
It's not funny.
Wait, and then what? Was that it? Like she just sucked?
No, and then he put his tongue in my mouth and he like did like a torpedo cat tongue and like drilled my mouth.
Like what was it like?
Like
what
this.
Did he do with that? Ew!
Yeah.
Stop!
I can't. I wish I could.
What did you do with your tongue? Did you do it back or did
it
you just like
pin back? Like it was in trouble. You know.
That's crazy.
I know. It was awful.
I'm sorry. But at least you've, like, had your first kiss, you know?
I wish that I had it.
Say that.
I really do. Everything's just different. I don't know. I just have to break up with him, so.
Really?
Yeah. He's not the Brendan that bought us snacks at the bowling alley, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, the Brendan that drilled the back of my throat with his thumb. So. What's up to you to get the next boyfriend?
That's a scene from the Hulu show Pen 15, created and co-starring my guests Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
You know, those early teen years are such a strange time. And you have these bodies that are starting to sprout into adulthood, but you have minds that are probably not ready to handle that yet. And you're having to cope with these more adult situations. And the thing that makes it so worse is that your emotions are just so intense. Like everything is just saturated and overwhelming. Like just the way that teens respond to music. Like it's so important and it's like their theme music. So everything feels so consequential. And, you know, and then they're thinking about romance. So, like, everything is a powder keg.
Yeah, and there's so many misconceptions, too.
Right.
It's like, in real life, Anna, me, I thought kissing was going to be the ultimate feeling of romance. And, like, that's all I wanted. Like, I was not interested in sexuality at the time. I just wanted to, like, hold someone's hand and fall in love and kiss, like, Zach and Kelly on Saved by the Bell. So when the real version happened, which was just this weird tongue.
Yeah.
Like, just drilling me. It was a shattering of expectations, but and I think that's true in a lot of different ways, but you're fronting as though you either enjoy it or you get it or whatever. And there's a lot of sadness and humor that I think that comes with that.
Yeah. I think you create these beliefs of, you know, things lasting forever, like your friendships. I will be friends with this person till the day I die, and not realizing that things will change because you might go into different classes than your best friend, or you start developing different tastes than your best friend. It's
different trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Anna, that scene was based on your first kiss, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, and what I found out recently, and Maya had a really similar experience, is that I went home after my real first kiss, and I had been looking forward to it for so many years, and I was one of the last girls that I knew to do it. So I remember just being like, okay, I just have to do this, and I have to get out of the way. And then I did, and then I went home, and I told my mom, who I didn't tell anything to, and I cried. And I was like, I never want to do that again. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the same experience where I was a late bloomer with boys. And when I had my first kiss, I had the same expectation of it going to be this romantic movie-like kiss. And again, I don't know what's with these boys drilling their tongues.
Yeah, what are they watching?
I don't know what they're watching.
I think they're watching something. I think that's what
they're watching something. But yeah. I cried after as well, because I thought, in my mind at the time, I thought, oh, I guess that's what kissing is like. That's how kissing will be for the rest of my life.
Right. Yeah.
Could you describe what you guys were like in seventh grade? I mean, are these characters pretty similar to how you were?
I was the same and different. I think that the version of me in Pen 15 was more me in fourth and fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I think in real life by seventh grade, I learned to hide the things that I realized that made me, you know, a target.
Mm-hmm.
In fourth and fifth grade, you know, I would tell people not to cheat. I would tell people not to swear. I don't know. I was just, like, generally annoying. but it came from who I really am and always will be, which is, you know, there's a good and bad to it. And I think as I got older, yeah, I just learned that I'm going to keep some of those things to myself. I'm going to adjust where I put my paper so you don't cheat off my paper. But I'm not going to tell you not to. You know, things like that. You just learn to cope a little bit more. But I can be, like, delusionally optimistic, and that can be good and bad. And so that's just still with me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I was full of contradictions. I was incredibly insecure and then brazenly confident at moments, delusionally so. I was incredibly whiny as a kid, and I think that comes through a lot as a way to get things. And I think my fear of letting go of childhood was a huge issue for me. I wanted to be an adult, yet I was really scared of losing my innocence, especially in front of my parents, because I equated innocence with love. So I thought if I maintained this childlike self or identity, then my parents would continue to love me the way they've loved me all these years. So that's a weird misconception that I created in my head.
Yeah, and that's played out in the show where Maya sort of becomes almost babyish in front of her parents.
Yeah, that still exists to this day at 31. I'm sad to say that I revert really easily in front of my parents, and I'm sure there's something that they're gaining from that too, which is something I'm exploring.
Sure.
Of why does this happen? Not to put the blame on them, but I'm like, why do you guys enjoy this?
It probably
this,
brings
you
them
know?
Back too, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel targets of bullies at that age?
I wouldn't necessarily call them outright bullies, mm-hmm. but I had friends that would put me down a lot, and I didn't really comprehend what they were doing until years later. But yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily bullies that
outright
would...
bullies, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a weird thing happen where... there was kind of a cycle in my school where the older girls would harass the younger girls. And that was even more in high school. But in middle school, there was a rumor that went around about me that I masturbated with an ice cube. It was really fun for me, that rumor.
Yeah.
And they came up with a really brilliant nickname called Icebox. Unfortunately, like, brilliant. And that followed me for, you know, the next, well, really till I graduated high school.
That's awful.
And with it came this kind of sexualization of me that I wasn't ready for. Like, I was very much a prude at the time, you know, quote unquote, and wasn't going there. And yet there was this, like, thing there about me out there. And I was labeled as a slut, essentially. I mean, there are posters put up about me that said slut. And
really? Wow.
Yeah, it got really extreme. And and in other ways, like, I was simultaneously accepted. I mean, I had, you know, groups of friends and had found my place in high school, but that followed me.
You were saying that you felt like you were accepted too at the same time.
Yeah.
And in my memory, I wasn't accepted. But when I talk to people who went to my middle school, they always say, you seemed so happy. Like, you were friends with everyone and you were doing okay while I was going through this private misery, I guess. And I looked in my yearbook recently and I got overflowing messages of love. But in each message, it was, you are the cutest Asian I've ever met. Oh my God, I love you so much. You're the cutest Asian, Maya. Oh, screw those other Asians. You're the best Asian. You know, that was the majority of these messages in my yearbook. And I'm sure I took that in as a kid in my heart of, oh, no one likes me for me.
Well, you addressed that in one of the episodes called Posh. Which is a really funny preface where you guys are doing like a public service announcement at your school, and there's like five girls. Some of them are like the scarier popular girls, and you're going to be the Spice Girls, but you're like, you're now elderly and you're suffering from osteoporosis and you drink milk, which makes your bones feel better, and then you can dance, right?
So yes.
It's very funny. But then... you know, Maya wants to be Posh Spice, but these three other girls, not including Anna, says, well, no, you should be Scary Spice. And for people who don't remember the Spice Girls, Scary Spice is the only black member of that group. And they're like, you should be Scary Spice because you're tan and you look the most like her. And the character Maya's like, well, okay, I guess. And then things start getting really bad, like, the popular girl's like, you should bring us the milk because you should be the servant. And then they start calling you Guido the gardener. They're sort of like free associating like all the racist things that they can think of. Mm. And then, you know, your character doesn't know what to do because it seems like she's not totally clear what's going on. She's like, this is uncomfortable, but maybe I'll play along because the girls are laughing. So maybe I'm funny. She starts acting like how she thinks they want her to act, and it's really uncomfortable. And that's true, right, Maya? That's your experience, isn't it?
That did happen to me a lot, and I would play into that role really easily to become the jester, and I would make characters up and imitate my mom with a thick Japanese accent, and it would cause kids to laugh. And I thought, okay, I'm doing good. I'm a funny person because they're laughing at me. But really, they were laughing at my mom's accent, the thick accent. And I didn't put that together as a kid. And it never penetrated me the way we show it in the show at the time, because you're just trying to survive. So yeah. I think we were trying to show, you know, a lot in 30 minutes, but what is that like when it's kind of hitting the person? And what is it like when you first realize for the first time that you're not like your other friends? You're not white. You don't sound the same. You don't look the same, even though this whole time you've held this belief that you are the same person, especially as your best friend. And so that moment of recognition in the mirror of, oh, I don't have eyes like Anna or those girls. Why don't I? I wish I did. And that hitting harder. That was something that I don't think I fully explored till we started writing this show.
Do you remember that first time when you felt that way?
I think I remember when I went over to a friend's house and we were putting makeup on, and when they would put eyeliner on, they had, you know, double eyelids, and so you could see the skin above the eyeliner, but when I would put the eyeliner on, it covered my whole eyelid. And oh, I'll get emotional thinking about it. Anna's crying too. And not having it looked the same was such, it made me hate myself. I hated my eyes. I hated that I didn't have thick double eyelids like my friends, because that's all I saw around me. And I didn't have any ideals of beauties to look up to, really, when I was a kid growing up, of Asian beauties. Oh, Anna, so
no,
sweet.
No, don't make it. I'm sorry. So sorry. Yeah, it's not fair.
Watching you go through that in the scene and the girls talking to you that way was extremely moving. And, you know, it's a bunch of white girls, and I'm one of them, and I'm the best friend, and I'm not saying everybody stop. Mm-hmm. It's a mirror of then, and it's a mirror of now, in the sense of, you know, I've been raised from a small girl in real life in a very liberal, progressive, you know, I went to a Unitarian church, and the way that diversity was dealt with was like, we should all be colorblind. We're all the same. And that's as far as it went. And I think that you can see in the episode the negative results of that, really, mm-hmm. of Anna just going, well, we're the same. That's just funny, and that's just humor, and something feels off, but, like, it doesn't. It's not important.
And the other thing I wanted to say was just reiterating how important it was to not vilify those girls, because they weren't aware fully of what they were doing, that it was somehow ingrained in them. And I was so grateful that we got to write an ending where Anna acknowledges how Maya feels, that I don't think I ever received that in life. Mm-hmm. So to have your friend say, you're right, I don't know what it's like to be like you.
You're right.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
Let's talk about how you decided to actually play these characters yourselves. Like, why did you think that would work? You're women in your 30s and you're acting like 13-year-olds, and the rest of the middle school actors are actually teens. How did you think that was going to fly?
I mean, we didn't know it would work necessarily, but we knew that if we wanted to explore a lot of the real things that happened to us at that age, we couldn't ethically or legally put 13-year-old actors in those positions.
Right, sure.
And then, you know, Anna and I were first actors, so we always approached telling stories through character, and it'd be great to be 13 again, you know, go through all of this trauma. But there was a lot of fear and questions of how is this going to actually work with real 13-year-old kids. And so we had to film a pilot, essentially, to see if it would work as an experiment.
Yeah, I think it totally worked. Like, you look awkward and look insecure, and you don't look like everyone else. So that sort of embodies how you must have felt at the time. And it's
exactly,
even funny,
yeah.
Like, Anna, like, you like tower over all the seventh graders too. So, you know. Well, what did you guys do to your appearance and, like, physically to embody those younger versions? Like, what did you do in terms of makeup and just also how you held your bodies?
I had braces, and it was kind of like Invisalign with, you know, braces put on it, so it just slipped in and out. But I did start using wax on set. It got very method because it starts, you know, scratching the inside of my mouth. And then we had kind of like binding straps on our chests. Mm-hmm. Maya always says, and I love this, that the jeans were always ill-fitting because they were for kids, usually, from eBay, and then the strap on the chest would, like, push your stomach in, you know, to the most pouchy sausage way that it could go, which feels right. And then, for me, you know, again, something that I did when I was 13 was kind of casually always be blocking my stomach, as though, you know, just hoping that everybody would just see me as skinny and not, they wouldn't know that I was trying to not bring attention to my stomach, essentially.
Right.
I was trying to hide it all the time.
Yeah, and I think I was just so physically uncomfortable, like you were saying, because I had to wear a wig every day, and I had this retainer put in. We put hairs and eyebrow hairs on ourselves, in addition to the hair we have already.
Pre-wax, pre-tweeze.
I tried not to shave my face for months in preparation for this role.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
With the straps and the jeans, you're just so physically uncomfortable that it makes you self-conscious, and even though you want to have bigger breasts at that age, you also want to hide whatever is developing because it's not your ideal version of what you want.
Well, I'd like to play a clip about Anna interacting with one of the kids in the show. And this is a great scene. And this is Anna has just recently gotten a letter from a possible suitor, and it's written in this tiny, tiny handwriting like seventh graders do. And you're in science class and you put it underneath the microscope because you want to read it. But at that moment, your teacher calls your partner to go over to you, and it's your partner turns out to be Alex, who is like your romantic ideal. So let's hear that scene.
Smell nice. Can you like read that? Or I can't quite, I don't know how to use a microscope, so.
It says, I like playing with you, Anna. Let's hang out sometime.
Oh my God. Whoa.
Who's Anna?
It's just me. It's stupid.
Yeah, he likes you.
Who? You? What?
Brendan Saxophone. Who's that?
Oh, him. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah.
So, what's up with your GF or whatever?
I broke up with her. I don't have one anymore.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's chill.
What did you hate about her?
She was just like always there.
If I was your boyfriend, I mean girlfriend, I would not be anywhere unless you wanted me to be somewhere. And then I'd be there on time.
Cool.
It's crazy. There's this like kind of music concert thingy tomorrow night. So
cool.
And I'm in like the band and chorus.
Nice.
Barely have time for a boyfriend, but I do have a little. Are you gonna go or?
Well, I think we have to go.
I like hate that thing.
So I just love all the work that Anna's doing there and getting
so
like
funny.
Absolutely nothing back. Like flash forward to Anna like doing all the emotional labor in a some relationship down the road. But
yes. That's so funny.
Yes.
So like the cool boys are just so dismissive of Anna and Maya. But like it's blunt. It's like these direct rejections, you know. He doesn't even know her name. And, you know, that must really hurt. But it's kind of like tearing off a Band-Aid, right? But with the popular girls, it's different. Like, they never outright say things like, you're a loser, I don't want to hang out with you. It's always, like, these very strange excuses like, oh, there's not enough room in my parents' car for you, sorry. Or like,
exactly.
Oh, I'm not supposed to loan clothes to my friends, even though all the girls around her are wearing her clothes. And, like, in some ways, it feels worse than what the boys do. It's like more torturous because it gives Maya and a hope. Like it gives them something to hold out for, and like you know maybe there'll be room in the car next time. And because in some level, like the characters want to accept those excuses, I think.
Yeah, I really related to that experience with the popular girls. We were all really close in elementary school, but then once middle school came and people started looking more beautiful or showing their expensive bags and things, I slowly was getting pushed out, but they were always really nice to me and would say, oh, Maya, sorry you can't come to the brunch of the bat mitzvah, like, but happy birthday, we love you, you know, and they would call me from the brunch and
really?
All of them were there. My mom, yeah, I remember that moment. I started bawling after, and my mom, I probably can't say this on air, but
why
she was like,
you?
Those little bitches, I'm over it, no more. And like they called me because I was like, no, they're being sweet, they're saying happy birthday, mom. And she was like, no, it's not okay, you know.
Oh.
Because I wanted to be included in the brunch. If you were, you were a best friend. It's the hope. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And not to really excuse the popular kids' behavior, but I imagine they're probably feeling like a lot of the same anxiety, and even though like the ways that they're acting out are like behaviors that are totally hurtful and bullying, but like, I don't think anyone at that age is free from that social anxiety.
Oh, no. And I also probably did the same thing to other girls. Mm-hmm. You know, I think no one is guiltless.
It's like the food chain, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about survival and being accepted. So you'll sometimes do whatever it takes. There's not a lot of heroic acts in middle school, I think.
Yeah, and we talked about Welcome to the Dollhouse by Todd Solondz a lot and how that character, you know, the bullied becomes the bully. And that's very common, even if it's just in a moment. You know, you're flexing this muscle that you see is keeping other people safe, and maybe it'll keep you safer. And so, yeah, we wanted to show that as well, I guess.
So just a warning to parents here. The next section, we're going to be talking non-graphically about sexual feelings. But one of the episodes is about Maya discovering masturbation. And it's a great example of how these characters are teetering like between childhood and adulthood. So she's like sitting in her room and she's playing with her My Little Pony toys. And then she like has them start kissing, and then she starts like mashing them together. And then she starts feeling these urges, which she acts on. And after that experience, she becomes obsessed with that. And like everything she sees triggers her sexually. Like in the classroom, she can't concentrate because she's distracted by like a kid's ear or like a pencil eraser or like someone's eyebrow. And she finds like well-rounded sand dunes really hot. Like it's hilarious. And it feels very honest. So how did you come up with that idea?
Well, based on my real experience, I mean, sexuality at that age is really bewildering and confusing, and it doesn't make sense. I was turned on by, like what you said, sand dunes. I don't
apple
know why.
Cores.
Apple cores. Really, rotten apple cores and sand dunes, for some reason, came into my head once, and I was like,
off to the races.
Off, you know. I don't know what the connection is, but the point that abstract things can turn you on at that age. And what we really wanted to explore was the shame around it and how you're never told about it. Kids don't talk about it. I thought I was a complete pervert. I thought I was going to go to jail. I thought I was a monster. I had no knowledge of what I was doing, and yet I instinctually knew how to do it. And so that really scared me.
And instinctually felt wrong about it.
Yes. Right. And so the idea in the episode, Maya's grandpa haunts her above her bed every time she's about to...
Right.
We were playing on the idea of someone's watching and disapproving, and if I'm under these covers, then it's okay. And I would, like Lady Macbeth, you know, wash my hands religiously, you know, like out damn spot of this, what I
did,
liquids I had on my
hand. Oh gosh.
I know, sorry, Liz.
it's real.
I think that's like the great part about this episode is like you deal with that like feeling of shame. Like for a while, Maya's not telling Anna what she's doing. Because she's making a lot of time for herself to have free time, let's just say that, right? And so she's kind of lying to Anna about what she's doing, and Anna finally confronts her. And Maya says something like, I'm like a boy, but I'm only grosser because I'm a girl. And I think that's a really great line because it acknowledges like this double standard that exists. There's some sort of tacit acceptance that, you know, well, of course, boys are going to do that, but you know, girls doing that, and you know, there were movies back then where it talked about boys acting that way, and it kind of normalized it,
yes.
But not really for girls.
No, not at all. And I think too, you know, going back to the icebox rumor that went around about me, I mean, there's a monster feeling with it. I mean, there certainly was for me. And I think that there's also an interesting juxtaposition of experience that Maya and I have had, this like yin and yang thing of I was a super late bloomer sexually with myself. And yet there was this outward public reputation around me that was the opposite.
Right.
And then you kept this secret and outwardly showed kind of a younger... Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was a very late bloomer with boys, but by myself, I was, you know, level 10 in experience.
How much do you feel like either of you are still carrying around that middle school version of yourself?
She's always there, I think. And she's a big part of who I am. And it's, I guess, about learning to take care of her, what that means now, you know. And I have tools now to help her out and get through that moment.
Right.
Maybe.
I think a lot of my insecurities came from that time. So anytime I'm dealing with any of those insecurities, or anytime I'm dealing with any conflict with anyone, I have to ask myself, oh, what is 12-year-old Maya really want from this moment? What does 12-year-old Maya really need? Oh, it's love, or it's security, or knowing she's okay, or knowing she's smart enough, or it's, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just being able to tell your child self you're enough.
Yeah.
Which I have to do constantly.
Well, Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle are the creators and stars of the series Pen 15. All of season one is streaming on Hulu. It's just been renewed for season two. They spoke with Fresh Air producer Sam Brigger.